Hello and welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat with Brent Kuhlman and Scott Porath, two pastors daring to be Lutheran, and yes, inviting you to be Lutheran as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Join the club, folks.
You know, I think you mentioned this last week, Brent. You know, we're not just doing this to sit down in a room and stare deeply into one another's eyes and talk back and forth to one another.
I hope you're not looking deeply in my eyes. There's nothing there.
This is for you. This is for you. We really do hope that you will have ears to hear.
Yeah, and especially with regard to what we've been talking and learning about from our Lord's own words in Matthew 26 regarding the Lord's Supper.
Yeah. You know, Brett, I'd love to have the ability to do live call-in, you know, for that feedback. And to talk back and forth, and dare to be Lutheran in an immediate time context. But
oh, yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Well, you get it anyway when you teach and you preach, because you got people who will say amen, and then you'll have others who say no, that can't be.
Yeah,
can't be.
And if you disagree with us, well, you can search us out and send us an email, give us a call. We'd be willing to chat about such things.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to start before we go back to Matthew 26. Well, Jesus says in Matthew 26, he takes the bread, he breaks it, he blesses it, and he gives it them to eat, and he says, "This is my body, and do it in remembrance of me." He takes the cup of wine, he blesses it, he gives thanks, and he gives it them to drink, and he says, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is given for many or for you for the forgiveness of sins." Now, based upon those words, it's very interesting that St. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he asks some rhetorical questions. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, when he says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation," or the Greek word there is koinonia, that is to say communion, "in the blood of Christ?" Well, what's the answer to that question?
Yes.
Of course it is. And the Corinthians know that. So again, Paul asks the question, the cup of blessing that we bless, that is to say, the chalice that is consecrated, the chalice of wine that is consecrated with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, is it not a participation or a communion in the blood of Christ? The answer, of course, is absolutely it is.
The wine and the blood have something in common. They are in communion. They are both there. In with the blood of our Lord is present in with and under the wine.
Right. Then he asks another rhetorical question. The bread that we break, is it not a participation? That is to say, is it not a communion? Remember, it's koinonia again.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not a communion or participation in the body of Christ? And the answer, of course, is yes. So, based upon our Lord's words in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28, he gives you, with the bread and the wine, his body and blood to eat and drink with your mouth, and you are to believe that it is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Can I say one more thing about the 1 Corinthians? I think I sensed you were getting ready to go back to Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But it goes on in 1 Corinthians 10 there to make a connection then about eating the sacrifices of the altar. And so as St. Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper here, and this participation of the wine and the blood, the bread and the body of our Lord, he also does so in the connection of the sacrifices at the altar. In other words, why were the sacrifices offered at the altar in Israel? Many of them were atoning sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. And so also then with the Lord's Supper. There's a connection between this bread, this body and this blood that you eat and drink, and the sacrifice of atonement, that sacrifice which takes away the sin of the world.
Okay, so good. Let's make this distinction. So it is our Lord's Good Friday death that atones for the sin of the world once and for all, as Hebrews teaches this numerous times.
Right.
So again, in the Lord's death on the cross, salvation is achieved and won, once and for all. In the Lord's Supper, you get the very benefits of that dying on the cross. In other words, the Lord's Supper does not win or achieve salvation, but salvation's blessings are given, the Good Friday blessings, namely forgiveness.
Salvation delivered.
Yes, yes.
And so there, in the Lord's Supper, you do have a participation in the Lord's Good Friday death.
Yeah, how is it, though?
It's through this body and blood and through that word which promises those who eat and drink receive his forgiveness.
Now that takes us to another.
It's all, and once again, as you highlighted once before, it's all gift. This is the inheritance from the testator.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off on. I've got so many things running through in my mind, and I want to say what I've got current.
Run, Forrest, run.
All right. We've spoken of eating the body of Christ, drinking the blood of Christ. Well, which body is it? See, that's another important question. Which body are you given to eat? Which blood are you given to drink? Is it the body born of the Virgin Mary?
Yes.
See, you're quick to answer that. Most people will say no.
Well, what other bodies are there? How many bodies and bloods does Jesus have?
Good. I'm glad you asked that. And this is our point, so that people can get this clear. When you go to the sacrament and you eat and drink with the bread and the wine, Christ's body and blood, it is the very body and blood that was born of the Virgin Mary, that suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, was died, buried, rose from the dead, ascended, and sits at the Father's right hand, because that's the only body and blood that he has. This is extremely important, because people, I'll always ask this question, well, which body is it? Is it the body born of the Virgin Mary that actually suffered and died on the cross? And people immediately say, well, of course not. And then you ask the right questions following that.
You know, Jesus is not some mystical person. He was a real flesh and blood person. As you said, you know, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born of the Virgin Mary. And so this body and blood is not some kind of a mystical body and blood either. Some figment of an imagination. It's the actual body and blood. And I think this is important to highlight too. It's not dead body and blood.
Yeah.
Because we look at the bread and wine and there it's dead. It's inanimate. But it is the resurrected. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He's been raised. He lives and reigns, never to die again. So it's the never to die again body and blood of our Lord that you receive.
Exactly. And in connection with that, it is his life-giving and life-bestowing body and blood that you receive. This is why sometimes there you have theologians and Lutherans will sometimes talk about the Lord's Supper as the medicine of immortality. Because Christ's flesh and blood are not nothings, pardon the double negative. They are life-giving and life-bestowing. Resurrection life-bestowing, in fact.
So the Jesus who went around and touched the sick, the lame, the blind.
Ah, if only I could have been that one.
If only Jesus would come and touch me.
He does. That's the whole point. I mean, that's where you're headed, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jesus actually, to use the language, touches you. How? By giving you his body to eat with your mouth and his blood to drink with your mouth. Oh, that's a good point.
See, folks, this is the Lord's Supper is such a great treasure. And yet it is a sacrament. That is, it is a mystery. Because with the eyes, you know, we don't behold much. And even with the mouth, we don't behold much. And yet the word of the Lord reveals. It shines the light on that which is dark to our reasoning.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Let's review some things based upon Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. So when you go to the Lord's Supper, and this is repetitive, and I'm doing it on purpose so that people learn and rejoice in it and believe it. Bread, body. Wine, blood, with the promise that there's the forgiveness of sins given. That's the biblical definition of the sacrament of the altar, or the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, whatever term you want to give.
Right.
All right? Now, there are other Christians who will not listen to the Word of God here. And so the most of the Protestants in the world, they would say that all you get is bread, no body. The body's up in heaven. And there's no blood because the blood's up in heaven. And so you only receive bread and wine, if they even use wine anymore. A lot of them now use unfermented grape juice. Well, that's another issue. Let me speak to that real quickly.
Sure.
Imagine for a moment that if you decided to do a baptism outside of our Lord's mandate and institution, what does that mean? Well, you don't use water. Let's say you use rose petals. So you attend a church service where the pastor takes rose petals and says, and sprinkles the rose petals on the person as he speaks these words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is the person baptized?
No.
Why not?
Because the Lord had not mandated that.
No rose petals.
No.
Supposed to use water.
Correct.
The amount doesn't say.
No.
He never said, and the Bible never says, how much water you spit. But with the
baptized
term,
means to wash with water, exactly, not to right. wash with rose petals.
Exactly. So you cannot change what our Lord's instituted. Now, similarly in the Lord's Supper, what if all of a sudden we decide to use Pepsi, Cola, or Coca-Cola instead of wine? Is it the Lord's Supper? Nope.
No.
Okay, so similarly, what if we use unfermented grape juice? You don't have Lord's Supper anymore. Now, I know that everybody just went ape, you know what, when I just said that.
Right.
Because we've been unfaithful. The majority of Christians, including Lutherans, have become unfaithful in this practice. We think that we can change what our Lord instituted. What if we decided not to use bread anymore?
And what's the reaction? Oh, you're being so legalistic.
No,
we're simply speaking the Lord's word. I mean, Jesus, you're being so legalistic by instituting it in this manner. I remember back in the 70s when it was kind of all the rage to use alternate
elements.
Yeah. You know, potato chips.
There
pretzels.
Was. There was an actual Missouri Synod youth gathering where potato chips and Pepsi Cola was used.
Oh, I remember a campus ministry that did that.
And that's not the Lord's Supper. No. That's our point. See, faith can't live on uncertainties. Faith lives on the clear and certain word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he takes bread and he takes wine. Now, all right, so back to what I was talking about earlier. Most Protestants in the United States, it's only bread and wine, no body, no blood, no forgiveness. They deny what our Lord says and gives. That's tragic. That's why we invite people to be Lutheran. The other side of the coin is, and this would be the Roman Catholic definition, is there is body and there is blood. Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, we rejoice in that.
That's great. However, Roman Catholics are taught that when you take communion, even though you see bread, there's no longer any bread there. It's only body. And even though you see wine and you taste wine, it's no longer wine. It's only the blood of Christ. Well, that's what Jesus says.
And some people would say, well, at least they got the most important part there, the body and the blood.
That is good.
But the point that you're making, Brent, is they're still monkeying around with the Lord's word, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're changing it. You know, the devil delights in deceiving us concerning the Lord's gifts without any help from us. Stick to the words.
Yeah. I've got a lot more to say on this topic, and I know we're running short on time, but let's talk about another point with the Roman Catholic teaching. Because if you've been to a Roman Catholic Mass, whether it's a funeral Mass, wedding Mass, Saturday evening Mass, whatever, you will notice that in some dioceses or in some parishes that only the priest still drinks from the chalice. None of the people drink from the chalice. They only take the host. And, you know, people have noticed that. And so, well, Pastor, why do they do that? Here's the Roman Catholic explanation. They will say that when they take the host with their mouth, they are also receiving the entire or the whole Christ, and therefore with the host, they also receive his blood. Well, diagnose that according to whose words? Christ's or somebody else's?
Yeah, what does Jesus say?
He tells the disciples, you take this bread and you eat it.
And take this cup and you drink it.
Yeah, he doesn't say now, oh, by the way, now with the host, you also get my blood. So you don't need to worry about drinking from the cup.
And he doesn't say, now, Peter, you step forward and you drink from this cup and everybody else, you just stay where you're at.
And Peter probably wanted to. Who knows?
Oh, he
just joking.
Well, yeah.
Just joking. So that I hope that's helpful for people because people will notice this. And now, in some Roman Catholic congregations, they eat the host and they drink from the cup. And that's a good thing. Thank God for that. That's part of the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. So we rejoice that in some congregations that happens. I've got lots more to say. How much time do we got? We're running out of time. Let me pick up more on what Rome teaches on the sacrament of the altar, and we'll diagnose that according to the Lord's words.
So just as we're going to break here, pay attention to what the Lord says. You know, man says a lot of different things, but does man say what the Lord says? That's all important here. Emphasis upon Christ and his word, his testament, because indeed that is good for you. We'll take a break, back after a moment.